Brandon Cutler here from AEW, and I hope you guys have an awesome podcast with the Monster Cast.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful here. You're watching the Monster Cast with Jack and Ryan. A big shout out to those fellas. Good people. Check them out.
Here's your hosts of the Monster Cast, the Straight Edge Monster Jack and Ryan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Prediction Sure to Be Wrong. This is the Monster Cast. I'm the Straight Edge Monster. That's Ryan. And we're going to get to it. Big card for you coming up Sunday night, March 5th.
You guys are coming up for you like we put it together.
Yeah, well, we got a huge card coming up for you right now on the show. Here we go. Yeah, you're welcome. I agree. And you can thank us after you watch the show, because I think it's going to be a lot better than a lot of people realize it's going to be. Most of the matches have been announced. We don't know if something's going to pop up last minute. We don't know what the pre-show match is either yet. So once we get that information, we'll make those picks off stream, and then we will recap those whenever we get to our next show. But I am right now barely the prediction champion. I think I'm only up by, what, two matches or something like that? So that's why you see the prediction title underneath my picture right now, my webcam. So let's just start right at the bottom here. We've got to open up on Wikipedia. We're just going to start at the bottom, go all the way to the main event, obviously. First up, we've got Christian Cage versus Jungle Boy Jack Perry in a no-holds-barred match. Now, obviously, this match should have happened a long time ago, but Christian got hurt. Before that, Christian was also going through a divorce, so you had a lot of stuff going on. But he's healthy now. It's actually the same injury that CM Punk got in his last injury with Jon Moxley, for those that don't know. They held off. And it kind of cooled off Jungle Boy in the process, too, because it's not like Jungle Boy been coming out here getting a bunch of wins in his absence and stuff, right? Which I think was kind of a missed opportunity, because you could have said that you could have showed him, Jungle Boy could have showed him storyline-wise that he doesn't need him type deal. But what did you think of them just coming back to this match, like, just literally a couple weeks before, and who do you got winning, obviously?
It's kind of weird. It felt a little bit out of nowhere, but I get why they're doing it. Like, they have to close that loop if Christian's going to come back at all. They can't just leave that one open-ended, so it kind of makes sense. It does introduce a weird thing, though, where if this had happened when it was supposed to happen, you know Jungle Boy's winning. But where it is right now, it's kind of like you just had Christian come back from injury. Do you really want him to lose his first match back? It puts him in a weird spot. Also, speaking of missed opportunities, why wasn't this like a Buried Alive match or something?
Yeah, with the video package, I thought that's where they were going.
That would be way cooler.
And I mean, obviously they would have called it something else just so they didn't get the cease and desist order. But right. Yeah, I thought they could have called it a graveyard match. Something like that, and been basically the same principle as a Buried Alive match. Because I was sitting there thinking to myself, I was like, unless you're Darby Allin, that video doesn't make any sense unless the stipulation is attached to it, right? Because all of Darby Allin shit is weird like that. So that makes sense. But like, when Jungle Boy is doing it, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, I get that this has been personal. That like actually made sense. I was like kind of hyped for him to announce it, and then it was nothing, and then it ends up being no holds barred, and I'm sitting there like, well, that's not what the video package really stated.
Yeah, I didn't get that. It's hard for me to think that they have Christian come back and lose immediately. They could try to pick this back up and give it a couple more matches afterward. But you also kind of want them to do the blow-off on the pay-per-view, too, so,
The other issue is, if you pay attention to what Christian Cage said in his promo with Renee, he said he's going to win a singles title in 2023 before Jack Perry is. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you haven't had Jungle Boy on TV almost the entire time, for the most part, since Christian's been gone, so that you could save this storyline. And because he's such so cooled off now because of it, really, it makes more sense for Christian to win this match anyway, because you could literally put a title on fucking Christian Cage in a couple of weeks, like the All-Atlantic title or the TNT title, and it would be okay.
Yep.
Jungle Boys, you have to build him up because he's such an unknown, whereas Christian is a legend in the game. So, with the way that he said that, I'm thinking Christian is probably going to win this match as well, honestly. I don't think that Christian can't lose this match. He's got the crutch of his arm. He's just coming off an injury. So that's not a big deal. Jungle Boy really needs it, because if it is the blow off of the entire feud, it makes no sense for Jungle Boy to lose it to Christian, who's not going to be around in the next 5 years, and Jungle Boy obviously is. So it depends on how you're viewing the situation. Is the storyline going to continue? Which I feel like the way that Christian's promo came off, it is.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Christian here.
I'm also going Christian for two reasons. That, and then also one of the things that he said in the promo, he was talking about how, you know, Jungle Boy had the chance last week and he couldn't pull the trigger and hit him with a concerto, and him being weak is about stuff like that is how he's always gonna, you know, stay behind and all that bullshit. They could play off that same thing for this match, and it, you know, it continues telling that same story. Maybe Christian does go and win that singles title, and then when Jungle Boy is willing to go that far or whatever, that's when he ends up taking it off of Christian, and then you still tie up that story just fine.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Luchasaurus plays in all this, if he shows up at all either, because it's a no-holds-barred match, so.
Yeah.
Who's also been absent in the absence of Christian.
And with it being so early on the card too, it's like you can kind of disappoint the fans a little bit by not having their guy win, let the heel go over, have some bullshit. If it's the first match on the main card, I don't think anybody's like really, you know, you're not deflating the crowd with it, because they know they've got seven more matches coming.
Yeah, well, match placement is always a big deal with AEW pay-per-views, honestly. And it's not because of quality of matches, is just like the storylines that take the fans out of it. There's obviously matches that people are into more, and then like if you start pumping them out back to back at the beginning and then in the middle, it's going to feel like there's a lull. So I think we talk about more with AEW. I think we talk about AEW placements of pay-per-view matches more than any other product, because their matches are so well done. But if they get placed wrong, then it kind of messes up the entire flow of the rest of the pay-per-view. And you don't have that with any other promotion, I don't think.
Yeah, you don't have it with New Japan, because their first six matches on the card are all like multi-man bullshit matches building up to something else anyway. And then you basically have like the two or three main matches. So you don't really get that weird overlap or like lulls and dips and highs. Like it's a steady all the way up every time. And then WWE, it's like, you know, no comment. Next match.
All right, next up, we've got the Trios title tag team match. You've got the Elite defending against the House of Black. Obviously, that's Kenny Omega, Matt Jackson, and Nick Jackson versus Malakai Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews. And judging from my Malakai Black shirt, you guys can obviously guess who I'm choosing for this match. I do believe that there is an outside chance that the Elite still win, but basically, I'm picking this one based off of who should win.
Yeah.
And who should win is the House of Black.
I've also got House of Black on this. I don't think it makes any sense for the Elite to keep it. They've already established the belt. They had their good run with it. They got it. They had the series with the Death Triangle. That was cool. Now you give it to House of Black and keep it moving. We kind of talked about this last week too, where the Trios titles are something that kind of need to stay moving. Feel important and feel fresh, and if they don't lose them here, I don't know what the fuck they do with the House of Black. Whereas here, you could put the Bucks back into the tag division, you can get back into whatever they're doing with the Hangman stuff, like with their shoes showing up in his locker and all that kind of stuff that they're like teasing in the background and stuff every week, and they can go tie up that story. Kenny can go back to the top of the card doing top of the card shit. Plenty of reasons to book this with House of Black winning. And not a lot to book this with the Elite winning. So I've also got House of Black on this.
All right, next up we've got the three-way match for the Women's World Championship in AEW. Jamie Hayter is defending against Saraya and Ruby Soho. as good as Jamie Hayter's reign has been, I don't really know what they do if Jamie Hayter retains here. So, like, it doesn't really solve any situation to me. Now, I guess they could do a whole Jamie Hayter wins and then Saraya and Ruby, or Ruby turns and joins whatever, the freelancers or whatever the fuck they're called, and then we can move forward with the first ever women's blood and guts match, which a lot of people are thinking that they're gearing towards. I don't know that for sure, obviously. Then you got the whole, who do they put on the other side? Riho, Willow Nightingale, you know, who's going to team up with the Britt Baker side of things. So I don't really know. Like, this is actually a toss-up for me, because I think Ruby deserves it. I think Saraya makes sense money-wise, but I think Jamie Hayter makes the most sense as far as pleasing the crowd. Obviously, Pro wrestling isn't for pleasing the crowd all the time, either. So I don't really know where to go with this. So I'm actually going to let you pick this one first, and then I guess I'll just pick one of the other two that you don't pick, honestly.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you're saying. I do think it's important to note that when they hired Saraya, it was probably under the pretense of like, yeah, we'll make you a champion at some point, you can have a run. And if you don't do that here, when do you do it? I think Soho probably gets the big hit, the finisher or whatever on Hayter, and then Saraya throws her to the side and gets the pin, keeps whatever conflict between them that they want to keep, gives Saraya whatever title run she was promised when she signed. And you can keep telling the story of Saraya basically fucking over Ruby, so Ruby's still not going to join them, and then, but she's still not really cool with Hayter and whatever, because now Hayter's going to be like, oh, well, you're the one that calls me the belt and all that shit. So you can still do a bunch of stuff out of it. I think that it's the person that I want to see win the least, but I think that with outside influence and maybe where they're going with the story, I think it might make the most sense to have Saraya win it, even though she's not hurt. Her fucking punches on Wednesday when she was thrown, that was so bad, dude. It was so ugly. Like, her timing was so off. I do not want her to be champion. She's not good in the ring. All the time off has clearly impacted that a lot, and she just hasn't picked it back up, and I don't want to see her as champion, but I imagine they didn't bring her back to just never be champion either. So, I'm going to go Saraya on this.
All begrudgingly. Right, I'm just going to play a safe bet here, and I'm going to say champ. Jamie Hayter is going to retain then, because I was probably going to pick Saraya too. But, you know, it really is a toss-up for me when you start thinking about all the different ways they can go. I think it's actually the other way around. I think Jamie hits Ruby Soho with something, and then Saraya throws Jamie Hayter out, and Saraya gets the dub. And then they can continue all the way up to a singles match between Saraya and Jamie Hayter, which I think would actually be a really good match. But because, you know, it's the prediction show, we got to have some different stuff on here. I am going to go Jamie Hayter to retain here. And hopefully, even though it wasn't my original pick, I still will end up magically getting lucky and getting it right. Because, I mean, Jamie Hayter's been a really good champion so far, so, like, and her steam isn't died down. When her song hits, the people still go fucking nuts, like, on the first note. So, like, that's got to account for something. So we'll see how long Tony Khan lets her run with the ball, because I think she's doing a good job right now, so we'll see.
I do, too.
All right, next up on the list, we've got Chris Jericho versus Ricky Starks, the match no one asked for. This is the Omos-Brock Lesnar of the pay-per-view. And I'm not saying that because I dislike either the guys or anything like that. It's just like a match that no one asked for. Like, we've already seen it for one, at least in the Lesnar Omos match. We have never seen it before. Right.
I want to see that Lesnar Omos match.
The premise behind the match is terrible. And we'll talk about that more on Sunday's show, obviously, but Chris Jericho, Ricky Starks has already beat Chris Jericho. Then Ricky Starks had to jump through hoops to fight Chris Jericho. Then when he failed to do that, he tricked Chris Jericho into signing a contract to fight Chris Jericho again at Revolution. None of it makes sense. I don't like the build-up to this match at all. The Jericho Appreciation Society is banned from ringside, for whatever that's worth. I don't see how Ricky Starks loses here, honestly. I got Ricky Starks winning this. I think if Chris Jericho wins this, I'm going to be pretty pissed off, honestly.
The scenario where I could see them booking him to win is that they already know what they want to do with Ricky Starks next. And to fuck with Ricky Starks to maximum levels, whoever it is not in the JAS, but still comes out, interferes, and causes him the loss. It being so specific about Jericho Appreciation Society being banned from ringside is kind of a red flag to me. Like, okay, well, that leaves a lot of people that's not banned from ringside. Maybe they bring the Hobbs thing back up. Who knows? But I could see a lot of scenarios where Jericho does win. I don't like any of them, but with the stipulation being that specific, sometimes there's a reason for that. I think it would be a mistake to do that and keep Ricky in this any longer than he already has been. Hopefully they see that and whatever Jericho's idea is or whatever kind of gets shot down as, no, this has been going on long enough, please do something else. So I'm also going to pick Starks. But I will say that if Jericho wins, I'm not going to be thrilled about it, but I can see what they're doing probably.
We'll see. All right. So we've got both got Starks on that one. Next up, speaking of Hobbs, he gets the winner of this match because he won the Face of the Revolution ladder match on Wednesday. It's Samoa Joe defending the AEW TNT Championship against Wardlow. Wardlow came out in an interview not too long ago saying that he didn't know what he had when he was really fucking white hot and let it slip through his fingers, and now he's trying to gain that back. I don't know if he can gain that level back without an MJF or a Punk or whoever's pushing to make that happen or helping him along the way. And I'm not going to say that he's the one that dropped it because it was clearly Tony Khan that dropped this. The way that they booked his TNT title run was, oh, Jesus Christ, so bad.
How many choppers? It's weird.
So bad. Like, there was no reason to go against choppers anymore. You literally had the TNT title. He said he wanted to bring back the TNT Open Challenge and defend it weekly or bi-weekly, which also he was not doing during his run the first time. The way that this feud has been built up and the way that Ring of Honor has now started, I do think that Wardlow wins here. So I'm picking Wardlow.
Yeah, I had Wardlow for a couple reasons. A, he has to get that win back. You can't have him get killed like that and have him get his hair cut and like basically be sent home for a month and then come back and still lose.
If he loses his match, do we put him in like, does he automatically go to the realm of Ziggler where no one's going to believe shit that he does when he comes out against an actual formidable opponent?
I think the difference is that he's so physically imposing that he'll never be in that spot. But it does put him in a bad place, yeah. I think having Samoa... Here's the thing, too, like, with you're talking about, like, he doesn't have an MJF or whatever to play off of. The reason that I don't feel like he's gotten as hot off of the Samoa Joe feud is that people fucking love Samoa Joe. Even when he's being a dickhead, like, even when he's, like, being, like, 1,000% heel, it's hard to not like him in a way. Whereas you don't have that with MJF, so when Wardlow finally turns on MJF and, like, knocks him out and turns on him and whatever, it gets him a lot hotter than it does for him to finally, like, beat Samoa Joe after losing to him and after Samoa Joe, like, just basically being a cool heel. Hopefully they do something more with it afterward, but I have Wardlow winning this as well. I think you gotta put Samoa Joe in the Ring of Honor spot, and you don't want to split his time between two things at his age, so.
Alright. Next up, we've got Jon Moxley versus Adam Hangman Page in the Texas Death Match in California. Okay, so
it might be different.
I really did like Page's promo, even though I'm sure the people in the audience couldn't really hear parts of it because it was really low, like he was doing the Jake the Snake type deal on some of the parts or whatever. But it, like, on TV, it came across very well. I don't know about this one, honestly, because this is another feud, kind of like the Starks and Jericho thing, where I just wanted to end. They're cranking out really good matches together. It's just like, what's the point of them, though? The point, like, what? Not the point of the story. Like, the story makes sense, right? They're just trying to be the best in the world, basically, is what they are. They're two dudes that think they're alpha males, and they're fucking think they're at the top of the AEW or wrestling in general, and they're beating the shit out of each other because they want to be the most badass fucking people in wrestling. So it makes sense from that standpoint. But after it's over, it doesn't make any sense going forward. Like, no one's saying that, hey, after I beat you, I'm going to get my title back. They're both former world champions. They need something to go after so that when we have a finality situation, we're not like, okay, now they're on the sideline for another 2 months waiting to see what they're going to do. I don't want to see Moxley go back against JAS versus fucking Blackpool Combat Club. And I don't want to see Adam Page rejoin the fucking Dark Order and do a bunch of comedy shit. This is a serious fucking program that they got going on, and I would like for them to both be well off afterwards and not one of them just fall by the wayside. So, I don't really know where they are going with this. I do know that Adam Page in Texas Deathmatch is undefeated so far in AEW, so that's something. And I do think that Page probably needs it more than Moxley. Well, that's not probably. He needs it more than Moxley. Moxley wins 97% of his matches in AEW. He doesn't need the win. So
he's
I'm gonna go Adam Page.
No, sir. I've got Moxley on this all day. As soon as the Elite loses their titles, I think they kick back the Page thing. And for that to work, I think Page has to take the loss here. And they might kick off something with Blackpool. That'd be cool. I'd be into that. Depending on how this match goes. But I have Moxley winning this because I think it just makes more sense.
Now, if they kick off something with Blackpool, don't you think that the Trios titles would still be in their hands?
No, not necessarily. Because it's not about titles or anything. It's about their friend Adam Page. So it doesn't have to be. The titles don't have to be involved. But whoever comes out on top of that whole thing has a credible challenge or a credible claim to go challenge for the title. So,
we'll see. I mean, Claudio and Yuta both did get eliminated by fucking Danhausen and Orange Cassidy, so I don't know if they got credible shots at the Trios titles.
Yeah, but Claudio and Moxley as a tag team is a lot different. And then what everybody's going to want to see.
But we're not talking about tag team, we're talking about Trios.
I know, but the thing is, you're talking about. Here's the thing, too. In the build-up to that, I think people are really going to want to see Paige and Omega as a tag team again against, like, maybe a Moxley and Claudio. There's a lot of cool stuff you can book out of that. We'll see what they do with it, but I have Moxley.
Yeah, I mean,
this.
That's a pay-per-view match right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That doesn't involve any titles. I agree. That would be insane, but it also runs the risk of that's the only thing people are talking about when you have five fucking title matches on the card, too, and that might not be the best thing. That would be great to see.
That's how it works in
TEW,
baby.
Let's go to the next one. It is the Fatal 4-Way that nobody likes except for me, apparently. So, I actually like this matchup. Okay, so I said on Twitter, with the Triple Threat and the Fatal 4-Way matches that were thrown on here that a lot of people aren't liking, I was like, you need those types of matches when your main matches are going to be an Iron Man match. You're trying to fit some more people on there, trying to have some quick fun stuff, because we know that the pace of the 60-minute Iron Man match is going to be slow in some parts, right? So you want some?
I don't know, man.
Stuff.
I don't fucking know. Have you seen MJF lately? That man looks like he could go full fucking pace for 60 minutes right
now.
That's
fine. You can go for 60 minutes, but I'm telling you, there's going to be slow parts of the match. Like, it's inevitable. It's not going to be fucking balls to the wall for 60 minutes. It's just not going to happen.
It might be.
Anyway, the Guns are defending their tag team titles against the Acclaimed, who are the former champions, against Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett, and then, of course, against Orange Cassidy and Danhausen, which is, I think, a great addition because it's going to change the levity of the situation. I think this is a perfect card, or a perfect match to have on this card, because if you look at the rest of the card, it's
all very serious blood.
Serious shit. Yeah, it's all very serious shit, and everybody's like, oh man, they're making a joke out of the tag team division. No, they're not. It's just four fucking different tag teams that you're not used to seeing. It's always nice to have a rotation of fucking things. You saw in the Battle Royale for Orange Cassidy and Danhausen to win how deep the tag team division still is. It's fucking insane. Just because Top Flight didn't make it, or the Lucha Brothers didn't make it, or Aussie Open didn't make it, doesn't make this any less of a fucking match, because that's not what this match was intended to be. This match, for this card specifically, was intended to be the comic relief match of the show. Yes, it'll still be serious in its main aspect, which is the Guns versus the Acclaimed, I believe. But with Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett, the way they play off of comedy roles, it's going to be fucking perfect for Orange Cassidy and Danhausen and the Guns and the Acclaimed. Like, they all have comedic aspects to them, and they can all play those roles very well. So I don't care if the AEW Championship is attached to it. This match is still really fucking good, and I think it has a place on this card because there is no other stuff like this on the card. And what did we say from day one at the press conference? It's a variety show. It's for everyone. This is a prime example of that. Not every AEW World Tag Team title match needs to be 100% serious FTR versus fucking the Young Bucks.
Yeah, or Briscoes or any of the really serious ones, yeah. So, who do you have winning?
I don't know. I was going to let you pick first on this one.
The rational answer is that the Acclaimed wins it back, right? But some part of me wants to say Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal win. I don't know why. I could just see it happening. I don't think the Guns retain, though. And I think it would... I think this is a good way to get the titles off the Guns without them necessarily having to go back to the Acclaimed. So the Acclaimed still have a claim at the titles after the match, but don't have to keep up the Gun shit, and can pick that up at a later date. Maybe when the Acclaimed get them back or whatever, and they can, you know, have a couple matches and beat the Guns. I don't think it proves anything if they beat them in a four-way match, like storyline-wise. I guess, and they think they have this alliance with Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett, and I could see the story being all those crafty two veterans. They fucked over the Guns, they didn't know any better, and they got it stolen out from underneath them, and thought they were all on the same page, and you know, that kind of thing. And then it gives the rest of the tag teams in the company more of an avenue to come into this story, because right now the problem is it's gotten completely isolated in this Guns Acclaimed shit, and it doesn't really, there's no other avenues for other teams to come in. They've got to break out of that somehow. I'm gonna pick Jay. I don't think it's gonna happen, but I'm gonna pick Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett just because I think it's the most interesting thing on the list.
I'm gonna say the Guns retain, and it's because I really want FTR to re-sign and come back and finish the story that they were doing with the Guns before they left. So I think this is an easy way for the Guns to keep the titles by pinning a hurt Orange Cassidy or Danhausen, who's obviously the weakest as far as, you know, what they're portraying on TV. He's literally the weakest in the match, obviously.
And Orange Cassidy's injured.
Yeah, I just said that. So,
oh, okay.
So, yeah, so either prey on one of those two things, steal a win, basically, and then FTR comes back. Either that night or the next night on Dynamite, or the next night, you know what I'm saying, next week on Dynamite.
I think they're supposed to be out till April.
Yeah, well, you never know, though. Just don't read, don't believe everything you read. Anything, you can say that you're out till April, but Dax Harwood has also said a lot of shit on his podcast and in other podcasts, and it's like, okay, at some point he's either working us or he's working himself, or I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Like, just because you're saying it doesn't mean anything. He also said that he would love to tell you that he was in the Casino Battle Royale match, but you'll just have to watch and see. Okay, well, you weren't in it. So, like, it would have made no sense for you to be in it. So, that's what I'm hoping happens. So, I'm picking the Guns here because I think the storyline with the Guns is like what we said when they initially won the titles. And I was like, it's okay to have a transitional champion. Now, this is kind of too fast for me, but especially given who your other three options are. If you give it back to the Acclaimed, I feel like it's going to be very hard to get it back off of them. I don't want the Acclaimed to win here at all. As a person who was actually a fan of the Guns winning against the Acclaimed when it happened, part of the reason why was because I was like, oh man, FTR might actually resign. The entire story of FTR losing all their fucking titles back to back to back to back like they did is because of fucking the Gun Club fucking with them constantly.
Yeah.
That story is just too good not to finish off now.
Yeah, I'm going to change my answers to the Guns. And also, the other thing we didn't really talk about or touch on, Billy Gunn might turn too.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
They sell so much merch that there's a lot of incentive not to do it.
Because I said that at the beginning. I said that's how they were going to win the titles. Yeah. And then it didn't happen. And I was like, well, now, I mean, if it didn't happen there, then why the hell would it happen now?
To help them retain.
Yeah, but that doesn't do anything.
It could also be an accident.
Yeah, it's whatever. I mean, I already picked a gun club, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, I really want to see the FTR story through, and I'm hoping that this is the avenue where they were like, okay, yeah, we're staying with AEW. If the Gun Club win, I have really high hopes that FTR is staying with AEW. If the Gun Club lose,
any way they go back to WWE?
I mean, you never know, dude. You never know.
You listen to his podcast,
right? I don't
either,
but you never know.
You listen to his podcast?
I haven't listened to his podcast in a hot minute.
I listen to every one of them, and the shit he says about what it was like working with WWE and all that stuff, he's not a Triple H fan, like, at all. He doesn't like him. He doesn't think Triple H likes them. The way he describes working there is just, like, not good. I don't see that he would go back.
We'll see.
I'm gonna switch to the Guns. I do think that makes a lot of sense, and I forgot how involved they were in so many of the losses for all their title shit. I completely forgot that whole build up to all that because they've been gone for so long. But yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'll switch to the Guns too.
All right, we're going to the main event. It's the 60-minute Iron Man match. Got a lot of people thinking that Danielson's gonna win now magically. I don't. I've got MJF retaining. I don't know where this discourse from Danielson winning came out of nowhere, by the way. But you guys think that MJF's first title defense on a pay-per-view is going to be a loss to Danielson. I don't see it that way. I think that's kind of dumb. It makes MJF look stupid. And if you're trying to keep that man in the bidding war of 2024, you don't have him lose to fucking Danielson in his first fucking actual defense. It makes no sense.
This is just you wanting Punk to come back, okay? It's very transparent. Nobody's buying it, okay? I just want
MJF to re-sign with WWE AEW because I don't want him to go to WWE. That's the real, honestly, that's the legit shit. Like, if Punk comes back, the whole thing with CMFTR and the Elite is on the table. It's not going to be Punk versus MJF out the gate. There's no way.
Have you heard the new conspiracy theory about the CM Punk shit, which is it happened, like the whole media scrum and the fight and all that happened, but it's also just happens to be right around the same time that they started filming for the reality show that's now coming out. They started filming that in August, so there's like a bunch of people now that are like, oh, we all got fucking worked so that they could do it as a storyline on this reality show.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I fucking also doubt it. There would just be too many people involved in the production of the show who would have too much incentive to leak it, you know?
Also, and as much as I love the Elite, they're not very good actors. So, like, as soon as you watched it on there, you would know that they were fucking full of shit and it was bullshit. Or they could do, like, the fake shit where, like, the cameraman's outside the door and you're listening and they got the subtitles or whatever, so you don't actually know what's happening in there still. Yeah, but no, that's not happening.
I will say Nick is a better actor than Matt. But neither one of them are great. Yeah, for sure. Okay, on the MJF Danielson thing, what do you think about them putting this match at the start of the card?
Unless you got something really big at the end, like a debut or comeback or something, I don't see why you would do that.
Well, that's my thought, right? If you do have FTR come out, you could have that main event. But my thought is, everybody knows exactly how long the match is going to be. So why wouldn't you have it at the start of the card?
I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I don't know. What does that have to do with anything?
So, it's like a pacing thing. Kind of like what we were talking about earlier with match order. You know that.
Oh, okay. So you sat through this whole pay per view, and now you got to sit through another hour.
60-minute match.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I get you. Okay. So I don't have a personal problem with that, but I've sat through many Iron Man matches before, so I don't really care. All Iron Man matches I've sat through were the main event, so I don't have a problem with that at all. But yeah, I guess I get what you're saying. I don't think the core AEW audience is going to have an issue with it, and that's why they're doing it on pay-per-view, because the people that are paying $50 for this pay-per-view, which I already did, by the way, a few days ago, doesn't mind that. I don't think the audience in attendance minds that. Now, yes, the audience in attendance does get tired, right? But it's kind of like I was explaining on Twitter to a post. A lot of people were like, I don't want to see any Iron Man match. I don't care who the two guys are.
Well, go fuck yourself.
I'm sitting there like, what?
What do you mean?
Because I already know how long it's going to be, so I only need to pay attention to the last 5 minutes. I'm sitting there like, okay, so let's view this in the same arena as another sporting event. When you watch an NFL game, are you just as invested in the first quarter as you are the fourth? Yes. Are you not turning on the game till the fourth quarter?
No. That's actually not true at all.
Disagree. There's no one that's fucking turning on an NFL game in the fucking fourth quarter just to watch the fourth quarter. That's the fucking same premise that they're saying right there.
I do that. Because I don't give a shit about I don't really like football.
I'm not talking about you then. I'm talking about an actual NFL fan. That's my point. If you're not a wrestling fan, then don't get the fucking pay-per-view.
Here's the thing, though. Your argument doesn't really work. Because people do that all the time. They do that with baseball. They do that with basketball. They do that with all kinds of sports.
Disagree. Not if you're a fan of the sport. You do not.
Any time sport, even if you like it and you like watching it, I don't think you really lose that much by looking at the score at like halftime and then starting to watch the game from there.
If you're a fan of that team and you're turning on the game, you're turning it on at the beginning of the game, or you're just not a fan.
But now we're talking about fans of teams, not fans of the
sport. But we're talking about a fan of fucking AEW. You're paying $50 to watch this.
Yeah, but you could be doing that for...
You're paying $50 and then you're just going to fucking dick off in your house for the first 50 minutes and be like, yeah, I'll watch the last 10 minutes of this match. No, that's dumb. That doesn't make any sense.
I could tell you that if there was a match that I was going to pay less attention to, and I knew it was an Iron Man match, and I was like, oh, well, you have to miss half of any of these matches. Aside from the obvious of, like, you know, picking the fucking tag match or whatever and coming into that halfway, I'd probably pick the Iron Man match one, yeah.
I disagree. That's actually making my point for me. Because in an Iron Man match, a fall can happen at any time. In all the other matches, if I'm missing the first half of the match, I already know when the ending happens. It happens at the fucking end of the match. In an Iron Man match, just because the time limit ends in an hour doesn't mean shit. If fucking Danielson gets a fall in the first 5 minutes and then MJF can't get a fucking fall for 55 minutes and it ends 1-0, you missed the match because you wanted to turn it on with 10 fucking minutes remaining.
The drama of the Iron Man match is not just like... necessarily.
You can't have the drama if you didn't fucking sit there to watch the build up to the fucking end. So it doesn't matter.
So like in a Zack Sabre Jr. New Japan television title match, right? It's only 15 minutes. It's 15 minutes every time. If you started watching a 15 minute television title match at minute 10, the drama of the match is that it ends in X amount of time and somebody has to get X number of victories before that time is up, right? It's the same thing in an Iron Man match. Like,
disagree. Completely fucking disagree. That doesn't make any sense.
If there's
no one's turning on a fucking 15 minute match 10 minutes into the match and be like, oh yeah, this is fucking good. I can't wait for these fucking 5 minutes. That's dumb. If you're not a fan, just say that you're not a fan. Like, who's paying $53 and then not watching the fucking match until the last 10 minutes? They're saying it doesn't matter who the two people are in an Iron Man match, they're not interested in the fucking Iron Man match. That's fucking asinine.
Yeah.
Look at the people that've been in Iron Man matches. It's always been the fucking two workers that can go. There's a reason why they choose those kind of workers in an Iron Man match. There's a reason why you don't see Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior in a goddamn Iron Man match, dude.
That's a completely There's a reason why.
Come on, that's bullshit, dude. And you know it's bullshit. There's no fucking way that you can say that a match where a fall can happen at any fucking time for an hour straight, you're only invested in it for the last fucking 10 minutes.
The falls only matter at the last 10 minutes because you're already
know
what the score is.
That's my point.
Your point is dumb then, and you need to stop interrupting me and listen.
I am listening. You're not saying anything of value here. There's no way you're taking the side of somebody that's on fucking line talking about some, I don't want to see anybody in a fucking Iron Man match because I'm only paying attention to the last 10 minutes. I literally compared it to an actual fucking sport. If you're an actual fan of that thing, you're watching it from beginning to end. Just because you're not a fan of NFL or NBA or anything, that doesn't mean anything. Just take anything that you would actually be a fan of. Just put yourself in the position of somebody that's actually a fan of something else besides wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, there's no way that you can call yourself a fan and fucking pay money. You're paying money. This isn't like I'm watching free NFL. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, if you want to say that, hey, I'm putting on an Iron Man match like Kurt Angle versus Lesnar on SmackDown and you got commercial breaks in between, okay, that makes more sense. But to pay $50 to watch this on TV and then say, I'm not going to pay attention until there's only 10 minutes left because that's when it, quote unquote, gets good, is fucking asinine.
You're missing the fact that football is always football. People that like football always like football. Because they like seeing football be played. People that like wrestling don't necessarily find themselves as invested in the wrestling part as they do in a lot of the backstage
stuff. I disagree with that for the AEW audience. I disagree with that.
Okay. I mean, I know that there are people like that, though. I mean, I'm on Twitter, too.
You're a casual audience. But then those are the people that are proving themselves to be stupid for paying $50 to go shit on AEW every week or every month, too. Or every pay-per-view, rather, I should say. Because you know they're out there too. Like when you go into the chat, right? When you buy a pay-per-view into the chat and you automatically see all these people hating on AEW. They can't get in the chat unless they paid already for the fucking pay-per-view. So what the fuck are you even wasting your money for just so you can shit on the goddamn company? You're clearly not a fan. Well, this match is not for them.
That's a different conversation. So the question is not, do people sometimes waste money on things? That's not the question. The question is, in an Iron Man match, if you come into the Iron Man match 5/6 of the way through and you can see the count of the current falls, are you missing, like, having seen a lot of good wrestling?
Yes, yes. I'm going to fucking restart it. I'm going to fucking rewind it and watch it from the beginning.
That's not what I'm asking. The question is, are you really missing... Are you really missing? You're not. You're not missing a lot of the context of the
match. Yes, I am.
As far as what the finish is.
Yes, you are.
You're not.
Yes, you are, because the fucking finish could directly affect something that happened in the beginning. Just like when Kurt Angle fucking hit fucking Brock Lesnar with a chair fucking 10 times and fucking got disqualified twice, and then fucking Lesnar was up 2-0, but then fucking Kurt Angle came back and fucking was up. If I'm turning on with 5 minutes up, I'm like, where the fuck did all these falls come from? Yes, you missed something that has something to do with the ending of the goddamn match. Yes, you do.
Nobody said you're going to understand or be able to divine.
Then what the fuck are you watching it for if you don't understand what's going on?
The point is, a lot of people don't want to sit through 60 minutes.
They don't have to pay the $50 either.
There might be other things on the card they want to see.
But okay, then watch that and then turn it off. I don't really care, but I'm telling you, that's a fucking asinine take, dude. That's not a good take at all.
Everyone doesn't want to sit through 60 minutes of wrestling.
Okay, then they're not fans of wrestling. I don't care.
I don't want to sit through fucking.
Well, you can't say that. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to see any two wrestlers fight fucking 60 minutes. So if they didn't have a Iron Man match stipulation attached to it, and Kenny Omega and fucking Hangman Adam Page or Kenny Omega and Danielson or whatever go 60 minutes on TV, and then everybody hails it as the greatest thing ever. You know why? Because you were fucking watching it.
It's because
you didn't watch the last 10 minutes.
No, it's you're. I don't know how you're still missing this, but the difference between those two things is that that match can end at any time. So you're always on the edge of your seat on every pinfall. Whereas in an Iron Man match, if you come in with 10 minutes left, you can look at the numbers on the screen, say, oh shit, it's 3-2. The drama right now is that this guy is behind by one and needs two falls. You're not missing that.
But it doesn't matter, because you could have a situation like a Bret Hart, HBK, where one fall is literally the fucking end of it. So if the first fall happens in the fucking first 10 minutes, and it's 1-0, it doesn't matter. You still missed out on the actual fucking point of the match that mattered the most, which was the actual pinfall.
The drama of the match at that last 10 minutes is still...
Disagree.
The one guy is under by one pinfall and needs to get that pinfall before the timer is up.
No, I disagree.
Just like in football, I need to get 7 points before
the
timer is up.
To say that I'm not invested in the fucking first half of the match as I am the second half of the match in an Iron Man match when falls happen throughout the entire match is
stupid. Nobody is saying you. I don't know why you're making it about
you. I'm saying as that fucking person who's commenting. It's dumb. That's dumb. You're wasting your money, though. Don't buy the pay-per-view.
Some people don't want to sit through 60 minutes of the same two guys wrestling for what they consider not a lot of drama until the last part, because the drama is, can the guy overcome the current count?
I've got MJF retaining.
The drama is not a guy might win out of nowhere.
I've got MJF retaining the title here. I think you said Danielson, though, right? You said based off because he, you do, like, same situation as like a Soraya, possibly?
Last week on the show?
Same situation as a Soraya, where, like, if you don't put him on, if you don't put the title on him now, when do you do it?
I don't know that he wants it, but I could see Tony Khan wanting him to have it. The MJF run, if you look at like ratings and stuff, it's not been bad, but they did just do their second lowest Dynamite in a pretty long time, and I just don't think that he's as compelling a champion when he's not defending it. He's not like, all his promos are very like, you have to work your way up to wrestle me, and then you wrestle me, and then I get to pick. Like, it's not bad, but it's kind of a, I don't think it's working the way that they thought it might work. So I could see them putting on Danielson. I don't think Danielson would want that.
I mean, technically, Danielson's picked the stipulation.
Yeah. I don't think Danielson wants the belt, really. I don't think that's what he really cares about. I think he'd rather put
it. You think
MJF
he doesn't
over.
Want it because he's thinking in terms of WWE when he had it, and he had to do all the promotional shit and go around and do all this extra shit, where he doesn't really have to do that in AEW, though.
Right. That, and, you know, it is a really good rub for MJF. And I could see him wanting to give that. I also think MJF would probably be pretty pissed if he lost his first major defense after all the politicking and whining and withholding and whatever he had to do to even get it. And then the Punk shit blowing up when that was supposed to be his next big stepping stone.
Don't forget, he went out of his way to have his own special title, which would be dumb to lose his first defense with his Burberry title. Like, yeah. What was the point of doing all that?
Bring back the wood one that Brian had in a...
I think if MJF loses, it also hurts Moxley, Regal. Everything that happened leading up to him getting it, like, to drop it that fast would make literally no sense. Calling yourself a generational talent, having Regal agree with you to the point where he was willing to turn on his own people to help you get that title, then you turn on him to show that you really are the bad guy when you were actually starting to get a little bit of support with your promos because everybody was starting to feel bad for you about your come up, and then to immediately drop it to your first real challenger is... I just don't see that happening. I think MJF retains.
The interesting thing you could tell out of that, though, is that if Moxley beats Page and Danielson wins, then you have the, hey, why the fuck did you side with Regal when we were a stable and like we were cool, like we built this thing together, and now I'm going to fuck you up for your belt.
Well, there's a lot of cool things they could do, because if they do the thing that you were talking about earlier about the Young Bucks going back with Page and possibly having a run at the Trios titles to go against the Blackpool Combat Club, that leaves the door open for Kenny Omega versus MJF, which we haven't gotten yet in AEW either. So I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I think for a lot of reasons, I think MJF is the safer pick.
Yeah, but I think Danielson's the more interesting one. You know what's weird? I will say this right quick. Before... we were trying to fit MJF into the title scenario, and it was hard because there were so many heels at the time. Now it's completely flipped. Now there's a lot of faces, and it's really only MJF that's a main event level heel.
Swerve, but they saddled him
for
with
the
those
world
two
title?
Fucking...
Not yet.
They put him with those two dudes, and I was just kind of stuck.
Not yet.
Yeah.
No. Maybe right out the key. But he hasn't even resolved the shit with Keith Lee yet, so no. I'm not counting that. That might be the pre-show match, by the way. It might be Swerve and somebody versus
Dustin and Keith
Dustin and Lee, yeah, something like that. I want to say they've already announced that for another show. Maybe tonight. It might be tonight. Who knows? On Rampage. But anyway, well, you get what I'm saying, though. Like, it's MJF. Like, he's literally the top heel, and then there's a big drop-off to the next one. Whereas in the faces, you've got Page, you've got Moxley, you've got Omega, you've got Adam Cole, who just recently turned babyface again. Remember, a lot of those guys were heels not that long ago. And then it was hard to fit MJF in. As soon as MJF became the fucking champion, all those heels turned face. And now you got the opposite problem.
You could bring back Miro. He'd be a top heel. Powerhouse Hobbs, they're trying to make into one. Joe
is
going
for the TNT
one.
Title, though. I'm not talking about in the future. I'm talking about literally right now. As soon as this match with Danielson ends, you have more babyface challengers than you have heel challengers.
Yeah,
that's another reason I'm going with MJF.
Yeah, I'm going to go MJF as well. There's a lot of reasons it makes sense. I don't know how they book that in a way that makes sense. You have, like, the greatest technical wrestler, the multiple-time winner of the Bryan Danielson Technical Wrestler Award.
He could use that in promos going forward. MJF, yeah. Obviously. Yeah, that'd be fucking hilarious. Maybe they should rename it the MJF Technical Wrestler Award or whatever. You know, something like that. Because I do think that MJF is going to, barring injury or some freak accident, impress a lot of people, kind of like he did with the Darby Allin match, where nobody was expecting to see that match out of those two guys. And it was like, holy shit, this match probably stole the show. I think, obviously, this isn't going to steal the show because it's the main event for the fucking world title in an Iron Man match. But I do believe that it will still surprise some people.
Unless they do it first.
I mean, it's still the main event. That's how AEW does shit anyway, on TV, is they put their main event first. But yeah, so, all right, so we picked a lot of the same. We do have a few differences, though. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the show. Hopefully everybody enjoys Revolution. We'll be talking about this on Sunday for sure. It'll probably be opening the show, so if you want to check us out again, we'll be live Sunday on Twitch right here. I'll put the link in the description to the Twitch channel below. If you enjoyed this on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Give us a thumbs up as well on the video. And we will see you guys very soon. Deuces.